The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk and then the head and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The Gospel of the Lord. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the actions of my body glorify you in all ways. Amen. Our text this morning from Mark has Jesus speaking in parables to those around him, telling all who listen to him exactly what they need to hear about how to live life not as a person of the world, but as a person who knows God, and that this God is continually seeking to be in relationship with them and with us today. The Gospel of Mark was written for a community of early Christians situated in the Roman Empire, sometime around the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 CE. Throughout Mark, this writing shows Jesus doing things rather than simply saying things. This is an important distinction. The beginning of the good news is his actions, not his words. It is these actions and not just his words that will ultimately lead to his ruin and his death. For those of you who have a copy of this, our Lutheran Study Bible, which is one of our summer road trip resources, there's a note in the margin for this text on page 1666, and it says, "Does the parable in chapter 4, 26 to 29, reflect on what God does or what we do? And how does this affect our belief in God?" It is then followed by this key Lutheran perspective on page 1675, written by United Lutheran Seminary professor and New Testament scholar, the Reverend Dr. Mark Vitalis Hoffman. "In the world today, most people value power, wealth, and fame, and those who have these things are able to impose their will on those who do not." Peter was hoping that Jesus, with Peter at his side, would have these and turn out to be the one on top. Martin Luther called this way of God working through things that are powerful a theology of glory. Jesus, however, reveals that God often works through weakness and even shame and death. Luther called this the theology of the cross. As followers of Christ, taking up a cross is not simply about putting up with bad things. It's about serving others, perhaps even dying for others because Christ died for us. In each of today's readings, we get to hear a message about the importance of service and love. Dr. Vitalis Hoffman reflects that Scripture is not simply a resource for scholarly reflection, but is a life source for Christians and for the church as we seek to practice our faith. Ezekiel's text tells us about God's power to do all things. Psalm 92 is named Thanksgiving for Vindication, a song for the Sabbath day. And it begins with reminding us that praise is not just for worship, but our entire life should be lived in praise. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. And later, the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Fundamental to who we are as Lutherans is that righteousness is not something inside of us, but it is something that God does for us. If we are left to ourselves, we are not righteous. This is God's work for God's sake, not our work for our own sake. More than once, I have heard the phrase, "Do what I say, not what I do." And if we are being honest, I might have even used it a time or two as a parent with my children. What does it mean when we tell someone to do what I say and not what I do? How does this reflect on who we are? And how does that respect to our own actions as stewardship? When we are asked to be God's hands and feet in this world, I'm not sure where exactly to find the text that says, please just talk the talk. You don't have to walk the walk. In Mark's gospel, we clearly hear of Jesus doing just the opposite. He is saying through his actions, do what I do. See everyone around you and love them as I have loved you. I continue to marvel in the words from 2 Corinthians. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for the one who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view. We no longer know him in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. Look, new things have come into being. Pastor Sergio and I were talking about this particular part of the reading this week. Verse 17 shows Paul's excitement about a follower of Christ immediately becoming something new. It is followed with an exclamation point even. And that is good news for us today. And each day that we live on this earth, we reside in this great in-between, between that which is passing away and this moment of new creation. Paul views the whole of existence from the perspective of the new, the already present, but not yet complete, creative moment that God has begun in Christ. This promise of new creation invites us to stretch the limits of our imagination and definitions. This puts us in a position to change how we understand what we can do and to shatter expectations about how we can be new for us as an individual, for us as a family, for us as a church, and for us as a community. Holly Heron writes that for those in the LGBTQ+ and other marginalized communities, they may view themselves as standing with one foot firmly planted in the past, while the other is moving towards the future. The old creation is represented by the divisions that continue to plague us: racism, gender privilege, internalized homophobia, economic disparity, and deprivation. And the new, by by a gender-bending dance in which we explore all of the positive, life-giving dimensions of what it means to be human in a way that honors and reflects the mercy and consolation first initiated by God towards us. There is a translation of the New Testament called the First Nations Version. And while I don't ascribe to the entire translation, for this particular passage, verse 17 is written like this. Verse 16. So from now on, we will no longer look at others through weak human eyes. Even though we used to see the chosen one in this way, that is not how we see him now. Weak human eyes. That stuck with me all week as I was preparing this sermon. I was struck with how often my own view of something affects everything about what happens next. How my experiences and weaknesses shape the outcome often before I even know the whole picture. How do we understand and see one another as God sees us and as God's creation? Something wonderful, something special, and as someone of value. A dear friend of mine said recently, when I get frustrated with somebody, I look at them and picture Christ's face. It makes me have to rethink everything. And in my office, I have this box that you see here. And it's made of old barn wood and has this old tin cross and this vintage knob on it. And in it are some treasures. And it was made for me by an adult sponsor of the youth group that we were sponsors for a long time at St. Paul Lutheran Church in LaGrange. It was a parting gift for me after our son graduated and Daryl and I moved away in 2017. And I have several treasures in this box and it sits in my office here on the shelf above my desk. I have a picture that was painted for me by one of my youth group members and a lovely note. I have a box that had a very special gift in it. And I have a bunch of these that you'll hear about in a minute. Our high school youth group used to take a summer trip every year, like most high school youth groups. 1 year was service and mission, 1 year was the youth gathering, and 1 year was an adventure trip. And sometimes these trips had up to 50 people in them, which is pretty impressive for a town of about 5,000 people. During the trip, each person, the youth, the college-age youth sponsors and the adult sponsors were expected to write in everybody's journal, which can be daunting with 50 other people when you're tired and you haven't slept for days. The expectation was that you wrote in your journal how you saw God in that person at some point during the trip. Now, I originally thought I might read an excerpt from one of these journals to you guys, but I found myself getting choked up as I read them because there's something about reading a message from a teenage kid to you about how you impacted their life and how it changed them and how you are changed by it and having pages and pages of that and bringing back all the memories. So I knew I couldn't share those with you today, but know that they're in these journals. You see, when you're asked to tell another person how you've seen God through them, it invites you into an intimate relationship, and you can't see them any other way after that moment. So I invite you to look around and throughout your days to come, seeing in each person the face of Christ, and then making a decision about what will happen next. Christ the King, as a recently minted Reconciling in Christ community, also has an opportunity to shatter some expectations. We can stretch ourselves to become more Christ-like by seeing Christ in everyone we meet, in everyone we hope to meet, and in those that we will serve only from a distance. I challenge us, Christ the King, how can we all open our imaginations to do things rather than simply say things? Amen.